Welcome to episode 41 of Published. Today I'll speak with one of Greenleaf Book Group's editors, Aaron Brown, about how to come up with memorable and compelling book titles. We'll discuss the process of crafting a successful title, what you should avoid in the process, and why, when you're titling a book, even the smallest details matter.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In this episode, we're talking about book titles. A strong book title can quickly catch a reader's eye and draw them into your book, and as importantly, it can serve as a memorable and sticky pillar for your brand. Your title needs to walk a line between capturing the book's message while also being distinctive and concise. This can be easier said than done, of course, and many authors struggle to find the inspiration or creativity to choose a strong, unique title. Today, we'll talk about a few ways to avoid these issues and walk you through the steps to coming up with a compelling book title that sells. Let's get into the interview. Aaron, welcome to Published.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're happy to have you today. So why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about your background and what you do here at Greenleaf?
Well, I began my publishing career as an editor in New York City, over 20 years ago. And I worked at HarperCollins and St. Martin's Press. And so I've literally been paid to read for about 2 decades, and I could not be happier. I don't know how I got so lucky. I'm an editor here at Greenleaf, and I work with authors in varying capacities. It depends on the project. Sometimes I roll up my sleeves and dive into a manuscript development, and that's when I help the author hone a rough idea and then write a first draft of the manuscript. Other times I'll tackle editing when it's a little bit farther along, when there's a completed manuscript, and I edit for clarity and style and content. And I also get to do fun things like write jacket copy, and one of my favorite things, which is titling.
Yes, and that's what we're going to talk about today, of course. And I know that you bring a particular energy into a titling meeting that is much appreciated here at Greenleaf, so thank you for that. And I thought we might start by perhaps having you tell us a little bit about some of the elements that you are looking for when you're considering a title for a book.
Well, I always like to remember that the purpose of a title is to attract the intended audience, and of course to communicate the promise of the book, communicate the book's theme and content, and to also differentiate the book in the marketplace. And at Greenleaf, when we have a brainstorming meeting for titles, we like to get as many perspectives as possible. And so members of distribution, marketing, and production attend to give their feedback. And basically, they tell us what's working creatively in the marketplace, and most importantly, what is going to sell. Now, you might not have an entire team with you when you're coming up with a title, but keep these different aspects in mind. What will sell, what else is working in the marketplace, and also how you can stand out from what's working in the marketplace. And ahead of our brainstorming meetings, we always create a title brainstorming research document, which has tons of information about the book. And we distribute this to everyone before the meeting so that we're all armed with all that we need to come up with a really good title. And I always like to put keywords and phrases from the book in there, as well as major themes and ideas. And I note the tone of the book. Is it funny? Is it academic? Is it dark? Is it satirical? And what mood are we trying to convey with the title? It's very important. And also, one of the most important things, of course, is know your target audience, because you're titling for your readers. You can absolutely love a title and all your friends can love a title, but if they're not your target audience, then it doesn't matter. Lose it. And I think that's one of the most important things to remember. And I also like to think about, I like to go online sometimes and look at popular sayings and idioms, and then take some keywords from the book and maybe try to do plays on words or kind of do twists on some popular sayings. And sometimes that can be really fun. And of course, when you're doing fiction, never forget your main characters. Harry Potter, great for a title. but you really need to keep a lot of these things in mind when you're titling. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah, and there's pretty high stakes writing on that title. So there should be a lot that goes into it. And I think for somebody who's listening and is doing this on their own to maybe think of it. I mean, Amazon is essentially a search engine in and of itself, right? When you're trying to find a solution to a problem, you pop that question in there and think about that as you're considering a title, because quite often if you just approach keywords like you would for a website, you can get pretty far along, at least for part of the title. Maybe not the fun creative thing that makes it, quote, sticky, which is also important, and I know that we'll talk about some more. So obviously this is a process that takes some research. It takes some knowledge of the market, as you said, but it also takes creativity for sure, because we want to come up with a title that stands out in someone's mind. And they hear you talk about it on a radio interview, and it's memorable, right? So, as I mentioned earlier, you are particularly good at bringing that creative energy into titling meetings. Can you help people think of some ways that they can flip that switch so that they're in a creative headspace and able to let the muse in?
Well, I think you're very kind to say that. I'm glad that people enjoy the meetings, because I think that's a big part of it, is that you want to have fun with it. You want to get in a mindset where you can be creative and relaxed and let everything go and just really have a good time with it. And so I like to bring in little toys and things that kind of have to do with the theme of the book, so that whether it's Play-Doh or fidget spinners or things people can fiddle with, so you can really, everyone can clear their minds and have space to come up with really good ideas. And we also set a time limit, which I think is important. So you're not just going on for days and days. You can come back and revisit. So brainstorm for an hour or two. That's what we usually do. It's a nice time limit to set. And I also like to tell everyone, always remember in brainstorming that no idea is a bad idea. Throw everything out there, write everything down. I'm sure that Freakonomics sounded really silly when someone threw it out there. And along that same line, the more ideas you come up with, the higher chance that you're going to hit the nail on the head. And so you just want as many ideas as you can to get out there. And so that's why it's fun, because people get distracted and they're playing with their fidget spinners, all these things, and they're just coming up with ideas and throwing them out there. And again, you're getting all of these perspectives and you have this really long list, and it's almost inevitable that something is going to strike a chord.
Yeah, and I think what also can happen then as people start to loosen up and throw out ideas is, of course, people will iterate on those ideas. So even if someone may hold back thinking, oh, it's kind of lame, I'm not going to say it, but or if you're working on your own, you might think, oh, I'm not even going to write that down, that's so stupid. But write it down, because it might actually be the jumping off point for something good.
Definitely, definitely.
So if you had to sum up a philosophy, let's say, behind an effective title, what would that be?
I like to say, I think shortened, simple is always good. They're visual, metaphorical. You want them to resonate with the reader. You want them to grab you by the gut. You want someone to stop and want to take a closer look. So even though that's really hard to put your finger on, that's kind of what I like to look for, something that's going to be different, that's going to make someone stop and take notice.
That is super important. And as the person who once upon a time in her career sat across the table from buyers pitching them, I can tell you that title really needs to hit them over the head with what problem solving, because people are scanning. And so you're right, it has to be abundantly clear what the value of the book is. I've heard a title described as a title and a subtitle, which we'll talk about in a second, but as a promise and a purpose. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. Definitely it is. And you want, obviously you want to follow through with that promise, but you want the reader to immediately know what that is and be excited about it and want to learn more.
Yeah. So I just mentioned subtitles. Could you, for our listeners who aren't familiar with what we're talking about there, tell them what we mean by subtitle? And then when is that necessary? Is it always necessary? Are there certain genres that need a subtitle? And what are our subtitle considerations?
I think that when we're talking about fiction, it's I think it's rare in fiction. I think with self-publishing, it's becoming more common to throw one out there. But really for nonfiction, I think subtitles are extremely effective, especially if you've come up with a title that is more artistic or vague, that really is going to capture a reader, but it doesn't explain exactly what the book is about. So you want a subtitle that's going to clarify for the reader exactly what this title means. So subtitles are straightforward. They're designed to clearly express what your book will do for readers, and you want to expand on the title of the book. And that said, you don't want it to be incredibly long. You still want to keep it as succinct as possible, but it really is there for clarity. I think I was thinking of some examples of this, and for instance, there's a book called Make Your Bed, and you know, it's a good title, you stop, but it could be how to be a better housekeeper, how to parent, how to organize. You don't really know, but then you come to the subtitle and it's Make Your Bed, Little Things That Can Change Your Life and Maybe the World. So that clarifies it a bit more and gives the reader idea of what's going to be in there. I think same with Brené Brown, her book Daring Greatly, which is a wonderful title. Who doesn't want to be great and dare greatly, but it could be about repelling or doing something really risky, you know, taking chances that way. And then you have a subtitle and it clarifies it, which is how the courage to be vulnerable transforms the way we live, love, parent, and lead. And so that clarifies it's about vulnerability. So that's really what a subtitle's purpose is. And I think it's mainly very effective in nonfiction.
And do you approach coming up with a subtitle in the same way that you would the main title? There's some pretty obvious differences, I guess, in terms of its intention.
I think that you want to be a bit more straightforward. I think that picking out those keywords and phrases from the book is a lot easier, not easier, but it's more effective when you're coming up with a subtitle because you really do want to go for clarity. And I think also with a subtitle, it's very effective in terms of when you have readers searching for keywords online. If someone is looking for leadership or information on magic tricks or anything like that, they're going to type in those words. And if those words are actually in your subtitle, they're going to be led to your book. So it's perfect.
Yeah, in fact, there's a growing trend in publishing for obscenely long subtitles, which are simply loaded up with keyword combinations designed to trigger search on Amazon.
Right. Right. I think there's probably a happy medium, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so in addition to the book title and the subtitles, many authors use chapter titles. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is? And when is a chapter title necessary in a book? And of course, how do we choose them?
I think that chapter titles are extremely effective, especially in nonfiction. I think they're very effective, obviously, because you have a table of contents, and when a reader is looking through a table of contents, it gives you a nice overview of the book. It's divided up by subject. The reader, it's very clear what is going to be happening, when it's going to be happening, and you basically get an outline of the book. So therefore, I think the chapter titles are very effective in nonfiction. I think for fiction, they can be wonderful. I think there needs to be a good reason to use them. I think they need to be very well thought out. I think there needs to be a purpose. I don't think someone should just come up with random titles because the reader is going to be looking for the meaning. They're going to wonder, why did you title it this way? So I think if you really think about it, you can create another layer to your story and really come up with some very meaningful chapter titles. But if you do, make sure that you are doing that and get very creative and make sure that they have meaning.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So here's something that we come across quite often when we are titling or when we're just considering a book that's coming in for submission consideration. If a title the author loves is already being used by another author, what happens?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Just use it anyway. No. Don't use it. I know this is why you do a search before you fall in love with a title. Just look. Don't fall in love with it first, because the problem is that when someone's doing a search, they're going to be led to in another direction. And it's especially a problem when not only is it another book, but it's another book that might be very similar to yours. Or, gosh, if the author is well-known, much more well-known than you are, and then you're leading readers literally to another book away from yours. And so you really, really want to avoid this. I know it's hard because I've worked with so many authors that just fall in love with the title, say, this is perfect, let's do it anyway, and it's just not a good idea. So before you fall in love with that title, do a search. Then again, if you're writing a fantasy novel and there was a book that was published 15 years ago on cat training, you're probably going to be okay because they're very different. It was published a while ago. So that's kind of a different story.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think this is especially important when we are up against a previously published book with a very strong sales history, simply because any search engine like Amazon will turn up that product until the new book surpasses it in sales. Right. And so it ends up really being frustrating for authors when they're struggling to get that visibility.
Because I think they ultimately want sales and visibility more than a title they love.
Right, right. So any other obvious mistakes an author should avoid when choosing a title?
I think you always want to make sure that there aren't any words or phrases that can be misconstrued, that are offensive. Think about whether it's going to, again, appeal to your target audience, and what definitely will not appeal to your target audience. Don't make a title difficult to pronounce or spell. Some authors think they're being very clever, but it just leads to difficulties down the road with readers, search engine, all of those types of things. So I would say those are some things to be aware of.
Yes, and I will throw in a personal pet peeve of mine, which is made up words in titles. Like quite often authors want to like scrunch together two words and they're calling it a new word. And
right.
But it's not really a word. And so when someone goes to search it, there's these search mechanisms are very particular and they don't recognize your made up word because it's not a real word. And so, and then they get very frustrated. Well, no one can find my book. Mm-hmm. It's because it's called something fake. If it's not even real.
Right.
So yes, just be mindful of that.
Yes.
It's so important to stick with things that are searchable by a normal person and memorable. You know, it's hard for people to remember nonsensical made up words.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about some things to avoid. What would you say a book title needs to be compelling? We talked a little bit about promise and purpose, but are there some critical elements that really make a good title stand out in that way?
Overall, you can write the best book, one that's going to impact many lives, but if you don't package it correctly, then you're not going to reach people. And I think the first step in that packaging is titling, and that's what is really going to make your book stand out. So you can be provocative, controversial, exciting, or you can just make a unique promise. If your target audience is not going to respond to something provocative, then don't make it provocative. But you do want to definitely stand out. You want people to stop and pay attention to it. And to this end, speaking about the target reader again, it's really easy to get feedback from your ideal readers, whether it's on Facebook or find a group of target readers, and you can put up your book description and do a little poll and say, which of these titles and subtitles do you like? And get direct feedback from your audience. And I think that's very important to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there are some other kind of nuanced considerations with titles, especially for nonfiction authors who are tying it into a business. So I think it's important to not title in a vacuum. You know, when they're thinking about their overall brand, where does that title fit in within the brand? So it's definitely, it's a very serious undertaking.
Right. And if you have more books down the line, as you said, if you're going to be branding yourself and there's future titles to think about, you want to keep that in mind as well, what's going to work.
Definitely. So this has all been very strong advice. Any other advice that you would give to somebody who's working on titling right now?
I think just overall, go back to the memorable, attention-grabbing, informative, again, easy to say. Also, something that's not embarrassing to say. people talking about your book and kind of going, oh, and they don't want to say it. And, you know, short and effective, I think, is you always kind of want to go back to that. There's always exceptions to the rule. But I think, you know, if you want to keep that in mind, I think short is usually always more effective. You can do it.
Agreed. Well, thank you so much for joining us today,
Erin.
You've been great. That's it for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed learning about book titles with Erin. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode41. You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It means a lot to have your feedback and sure helps us make sure that we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Eleanor Fishborn, who produces the Published podcast, and we'll be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.